I believe Romans 5 is a critical text in this discussion. Very critical. He thinks this is his most important passage. I think he would agree. Yet if we examine what the passage actually says, it proves my position in this debate tonight. Because Stephen read this verse, verse 12, about two or three times in his thing. And each time he would leave off this little part. Now later I think he briefly alluded to it, but each time he would read this, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, now underscore the word entered, audience, entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. And he would stop. Why do you think he stopped each time? Because this phrase explains the whole text, the whole half of the chapter. For that all have sinned. This section, Romans 5, 12 through 21, is talking about spiritual death. And the reason people spiritually die is because they sin. That's exactly what it says. Isn't that my position? My position tonight is that people die spiritually because they sin. That's exactly what this text says specifically. Not because they're born in sin. Now, what about the first part of the passage that he read? It says, for one by one man sin entered into the world. And so death by sin is, and death by sin, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so because through Adam, he was the first one to sin. He paved the way, we might say. Sin entered into the world. And then death entered into the world. Adam died spiritually the day he sinned. But now, why did death pass upon all men? Because all have sinned. You see that? Now, the only way there's a connection made between the sin of Adam and us is that he's the one that paved the way. And therefore death, spiritual death, first entered the world because of his sin. So he paved the way. He showed us the way, and unfortunately we follow him. But the reason we all die spiritually is because all have sinned. That's what the text says. Romans, there are two things that are indisputable here. Through Adam, Adam introduced sin into the world. We're not disputing that. But the second thing is that death passed upon all men, spiritual death, because all have sinned. So Romans 5 blames Adam for the introduction of sin into the world, but puts blame on us for our own spiritual death. Now, as far as the verses like 17, 18, and 19 are concerned, let's look at verse 19 as typical, since that's the one probably Stephen would most want me to look at, because he thinks that probably teaches his position the strongest. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That is true, Stephen, if you notice what verse 12 has said, in that through Adam, sin entered into the world. That's what verse 12 said. One man, sin entered into the world. He got the ball rolling. But verse 12 adds that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Let me illustrate this to help us understand. And put up that next chart. We're going to help us understand with the illustration of Jackie Robinson. Because Jackie Robinson is somebody we all know about, and he's famous for paving the way for black Major League Baseball players. Now, I've tried to pattern this sentence right here, Stephen, after Romans 5, verse 12. Make it just about as close as I can, and to help you understand what the verse would be saying. Wherefore, by one man, black players entered into Major League Baseball, MLB, and big money, they make big money, don't they, to black Major League Baseball players, and so big money passed upon all black Major League Baseball players, for that all black Major League Baseball players have played. Now, if you read that in a magazine, a sports magazine, Stephen, you wouldn't think that all the black players inherited Jackie Robinson's salary, would you? You would just think it's giving credit to Jackie Robinson, not for their play, but for the fact that he paved the way. He was the first one. And so after that, blacks were allowed to enter into Major League Baseball. You see, that's all that would be saying. By one man, that would be Mr. Robinson, black players entered into Major League Baseball and big money to these Major League Baseball players, and so big money passed upon all Major League Baseball players, for that all of these players have played. Not that they inherited his salaries. He's the one that paved the way, the first one to show them how to do it. But the reason they get a salary for playing is because they have played. Now, this sentence is supposed to be like verse 19. For by one man's play, many blacks were made players. That just means that Jackie Robinson paved the way for other blacks by being the first. He got it started, he got the ball rolling. It doesn't mean that they played representatively through Jackie Robinson. That's not what that means, Stephen. Adam paved the way for other people to sin by being the first to sin. He got it started, he got the ball rolling, but why do they die spiritually according to verse 12? For that all have sinned. Now, if we can understand the illustration of Jackie Robinson, we ought to be able to understand what Romans 5, 12 through 19 says. Let's don't read verse 12 two or three times and skip the thing that tells us exactly what the passage is talking about. Death passed upon all men, for, because all have sinned. And then 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, he used in tandem with this, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's talking about physical death, which we've already admitted is true. Because of what Adam did, we physically die. How do I know it's talking about physical death in 1 Corinthians 15? Spiritual death in Romans 5, because it equates it to being sinners, condemnation. Physical death here, because it's talking about the resurrection of the body, you see. So as in Adam all die, that's physical death, even so all the bodies will be raised, physical life, by Christ. So that's physical death, and we've already admitted, if you look at the end of chapter 3 of Genesis, when Adam sinned, one of the penalties that were cast out of the Garden of Eden, God placed an angel there, or is it, a cherubim, to guard the way into the garden so they would not have access to the tree of life. And so we all die physically because of that. Now, let me take up some other things that Stephen said. He came back in his last speech and said, what says all has sinned, that means all. Well, what about Jesus, Stephen? You didn't respond to that. That means all, meaning absolutely without one exception. What about Jesus? Now, and then you ignored another point I said. Really, you ignored the main points that I brought in response to that. If I were to grant that all have sinned includes one-year-old babies, I don't think that it does, but if I were to grant that, it still wouldn't prove what's at issue in this debate. Do babies inherit sin? We agree that all have sinned, and if you want to think a one-year-old baby has sinned and that includes that, that's fine in this debate because it does not contradict what I'm trying to prove. Are they born in sin? Not whether or not they do sin. While we're in Romans 5, I want you to look at this. Let's just look at verse 18, but you could do this with two or three other verses in the context. It says, therefore, as by the offense of one, that's Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. We agree that's universal. That's all. That's just not a few. It says, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, the first one is all men. So that few, part of the death of Christ was for all those same men. But Stephen doesn't believe that. He believes that Jesus only died for the elect. Just the ones that are going to be saved. We hope to debate that sometime. He believes that a very few of these Jesus died for. Yet you believe the all men in the first part of this verse is everybody, including one-year-old children. Yet it's the same all men in the second part, and you think that's only the elect. It's just a very few. Few will be saved. Now let's go back to Ezekiel 18. And I really respect Stephen, the way he conducts himself in a debate. Did you notice that he gave a very intelligent response to Ezekiel 18? But Stephen, I don't think it will work. Now, we don't dispute the fact, thanks for your help, Rick, we don't dispute the fact that the Israelites might have been complaining about how they were being treated because of what their ancestors did. We don't dispute that fact. But what you're trying to make Ezekiel 18 to be talking about is physical consequences. Physical death. Like you say where it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I think that's talking about the soul, not the person. You know, the devil can destroy both soul and body in the bad place. Matthew 10, verse 28. But you said that's just talking about the soul, the whole person. And I admit soul sometimes would mean that. Eight souls were saved by water. 1 Peter 3:20. But is that what this is talking about? Now notice that these souls, it says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18, verse 4. So he says this is talking about physical death because it's the whole person. It's physical death, not spiritual death. If that is so, what would verse 9 mean, Stephen? It says, the person that walks in my statutes and hath kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord. Now this is talking about physical death. Then the one who is in obedience to God will live forever, physically. Is that what it means? No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about live spiritually. So we know the context is talking about spiritual death. Look at verse 21. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. If this is talking about physical death, then the one who lives right will never die physically. Never. Now this is talking about spiritual life. The one who lives right and obeys God and takes advantage of the death of Christ will never die spiritually. That's what it's talking about. So when verse 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. It's not talking about physical consequences like physical death, as Stephen said. It's talking about spiritual consequences, spiritual life, spiritual death. So we do not inherit the guilt of sin. We die for our own sins. We spiritually die for our own sins. Now, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. Now, I think I pointed this out at least three times, and yet Stephen keeps ignoring this point, and this is critical. He keeps trying to make man, God hath made man upright, talking about Adam in the garden. Now, we pointed out man here is referring to mankind. I gave you Genesis 6, verse 7, I believe, as a reference. Now, but how do we know that it's not just Adam the man, but it's mankind? Stephen, it says, but they have sought out many inventions. God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Here's the contrast going on here. God's made someone upright, but that same someone is not upright anymore because they did something bad. The second part of the verse is talking about the same person or persons as the first part, or else the contrast isn't there. God made them upright. Now, why aren't they still upright? Because they sought out many inventions. Now, if the first part is Adam, then the second part should be he, singular. But if the first part is mankind, then the second part could be they, plural, because it's talking about more than one man. As a matter of fact, since they is plural, the first part cannot be Adam. It has to be all of mankind. Now, Stephen, this proves my position beyond a shadow of a doubt. And all you'd have to do is respond to it, and you would find out the answer to the question of this debate tonight. They refers back to man. They is plural. Therefore, man is talking about more than one person. He's talking about all of mankind. And so all of mankind, including me and including Stephen, were made upright. And the reason that Stephen and I are not upright anymore is because we sought out many inventions, evil schemes. Now, we can become upright again if we receive the forgiveness based upon the blood of Christ. And then number five, Terry, the idea of Jesus inheriting sin. Again, Stephen, he said it has something to do with the virgin birth. He wasn't real clear about it, maybe, but he said the reason Jesus didn't inherit sin is because of the virgin birth. But that, again, contradicts his position. Remember Job 14, verse 4? Remember that? How he talked about how that you can't be clean if you're born of a woman? Jesus was born of a woman. Jesus was a natural descendant of Adam, Stephen, wasn't he? Doesn't Luke 3 tell us that he was a natural descendant of Adam through Mary? And so if we inherit the sin of Adam, then so would Jesus. Your point is that a person can't be spiritually clean if he comes from a woman, yet you say that the reason Jesus was clean is because he came through a woman, not a man. It was virgin birth. That's a contradiction. And then he said, Jesus is not like man in regard to sin. That's the way I put it. I mean, he didn't say it in those exact words, but that's what it amounted to. Stephen, that can't be true. It can't be true that you can say that Jesus was not like man in regard to sin because he was deity. This would contradict verses that say he was made flesh and blood like us, that he was made like us, Hebrews 2. But it would also contradict this point. If deity affected Jesus' human nature so that he did not have sin or he couldn't sin, then surely he couldn't have been tempted. Because the Bible says in James 1:13 that God cannot be tempted. And the Bible says in Hebrews 6, verse 18, that it's impossible for God to lie. Really, it's impossible for God to commit any sin. God, it's impossible for God to be tempted or to sin. And so if Jesus, his deity, affected his human nature in regard to sin, that would mean it would be impossible for him to be tempted. But Hebrews 4:15 said he was tempted just like we are. So that proves that his deity didn't affect his human nature in regard to sin. If it did, that would preclude him being tempted, because God cannot be tempted. And then Stephen made the point in Genesis 5:1 that Adam was created in the image of God or in the likeness of God, and so was Jesus. Therefore, that means that only Adam and Jesus were created sinless. Stephen, I think you're aware of passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7, that says that all men were created in the image of God. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. All men, not just Adam and Jesus, were created in the image of God. And you said, because Adam was created in the image or the likeness of God, that meant he was created without sin. Then if you go to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7, since all men were created in the image of God, that would prove they're all created, born without sin by your own reasoning, Stephen.
Thank you very much.